Well, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it today after having elbow surgery a week and a half ago, but I was able to play the bass this morning, so I'm very happy about that. And next week, it might be the drums. I'll let you know how things are going. As I look at what's going on in our world today, I can hardly believe it, as many church leaders declare that the current lawlessness is what Jesus would want. To me, this is pure, unadulterated baloney. The lawless acts that are featured on the news for the last 2 months are violations of the first, the third, the sixth, the eighth, the ninth, the tenth, and possibly the fourth commandments, depending on what day you do it. The church needs to get back to the gospel, or it is in danger of dropping Jesus Christ like a hot potato in favor of the man of lawlessness who is spoken of in 2 Thessalonians 2. Churchgoers should not stand by as their pastors turn into apostates. If you are sitting in church today and your pastor says something like, well, let's excuse those who've destroyed private property, or let's be more understanding of those who have stolen someone else's property, on your way out the door, tell that pastor he better get his nose back in the Bible before he leads his flock off the cliff. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 23 speaks of this mysterious guy called the man of lawlessness. The man of lawlessness and the Antichrist are one and the same. And the Antichrist will come upon the world at the beginning of the end times. The Antichrist is given the title man of lawlessness because he opposes God and every single one of his laws in every way. The atmosphere of lawlessness is the precursor to the rise of the Antichrist. The Bible teaches us that when rebels have become completely wicked, the Antichrist will come. The one thing that can restrain his rise to power is the enforcement of biblical law. We should not be ignorant to the fact that Satan is behind a lot of what is going on today. Satan is working hard to cause the rise of the Antichrist, or the man of lawlessness. People are becoming so used to lawlessness that when the Antichrist does appear on the scene, he will be welcomed with open arms. Many who call themselves Christians will embrace him. I know some pastors who will be on the welcoming committee. There is very little political will to stop the current trend of lawless behavior. People seem allergic to laws. Even the most routine laws that keep people from serious injury and death are totally ignored. Driving down our roads in Rockford is like an episode of the Wild Wild West, with people gunning it through red lights. Unknowingly, we break laws all the time. If you're under 18 years old and are in possession of a Sharpie or a permanent marker, you are breaking the law. This law was passed to prevent graffiti vandalism. In some states, if you break wind, you are breaking the law, especially if you do it publicly. It is considered in extreme cases to be malicious and disorderly conduct. Connecting to unsecured Wi-Fi is illegal, yet most of us do it from time to time. In several places, cussing on a bus is illegal. So if you feel a cuss word coming on, I recommend you get off the bus, Gus. Every society on earth is dependent on laws of some kind or another. In many societies, it was the Ten Commandments that formed the laws in society. When these laws go by the wayside, death and destruction follow, which is part of the reason God was so keen for us to follow them. Man's laws and God's laws are not the same. God's laws are meant to keep us from harming ourselves and others, and in addition to that, they are meant to make us holy. Man's laws are more capricious and can be self-serving. We have laws for Olivia. A law that we have that's meant to keep her safe, well, there's several laws, but two in particular spring to mind. That is, you don't play with electrical cords, and you don't run out in the house with a steak knife. This is to keep Olivia safe from harm. But laws, we have many laws that are probably more self-serving, like don't play with our iPad, don't play with our computers. That's because we don't want our stuff being messed with by a 20-month-old baby. In the United States, it seems like laws, rules, and regulations exist on about everything you can think of. Yet to live in a civil society, we've got to have some laws. Laws are rules that make it possible for people to live in community. Laws protect our general safety and ensure our rights as citizens against abuses by others and by organizations and by the government itself. These laws include things like laws about food safety. Health departments have guidelines that restaurants are supposed to follow so that people who eat in their establishments don't spend the next week in the bathroom. Speed limits and traffic laws exist so that we don't smash each other up like bugs when we're driving down the road. Doctors and nurses have to be licensed so that when they treat us, they're less likely to kill us. There are laws that protect our rights as citizens, which come from the Bill of Rights and the U.S. Constitution. These guarantee our basic freedoms like freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Have you ever wondered what it would be like if there was no law? Well, I think we're on the verge of finding out. It's going to be like a six-way intersection with no stoplights and cars careening through at 100 miles an hour from all six directions. It will be a world in which many of us do not want to live, and many of us will not survive. Our universe is comprised of laws. Without laws, there is complete chaos. The tiniest of cells operate in laws, and when they don't, the human body becomes diseased and dies. Planets move through the heavens with extreme precision. If the moon or the sun was just a little tiny bit off, we'd either freeze or bake to death. When lawlessness is introduced into a well-organized universe, it's like throwing sand into your car's engine. Everything comes to a grinding halt. As we approach the end of days, the Bible indicates that the human race will become exceedingly lawless. In Matthew 24:12, Jesus warned that evil would increase in the end days. And we read, "And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold." Some of the lawless deeds of the end times are vividly described in 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godlessness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Today, there is a concerted effort to make lawlessness permanent in our society by eliminating police departments or defunding them. As criminals were released from prison during the virus, we saw them do what criminals do, commit horrific crimes. And here's just one example. Aaliyah Norris, I think we have a picture of her. There she is. At the ripe old age of 7, as she was sitting in the car with her mother having an ice cream cone, she was shot in the head, and she is dead. The shooter is 26-year-old Shaquille Marshawn Francis, whose picture we are not showing, and he had just been released because of COVID. But New York isn't worried about stuff like that. The New York City Council passed a budget slashing the $1 billion New York Police Department budget. As part of the NYPD's budget cut, nearly 1,200 badly needed police recruits will not be hired. Mayor Bill de Blasio said the loss of these officers will not affect the safety of New Yorkers. Black community groups are begging de Blasio to get the police back on the streets. But de Blasio is not backing down. His idea to reduce crime is roughly to have ordinary citizens stand on street corners at night and wag their fingers at criminals. And I know you think I'm kidding. I'm not. Look it up. Defunding the police is a crazy, destructive idea, and 64% of Americans agree with me. Yet what worries me is that 1/3 of our population thinks this is a good idea. They think the money spent on the police can be better spent effectively on social services, and that is what will reduce crime. In the middle of June, members of the Los Angeles City Council recommended that 911 dispatchers deploy unarmed social workers instead of police officers to emergencies. Who thinks this is going to go well? If we analyze history, we can say with certainty it's not going to go well. Stuff like this has been tried before, and it was called the War on Poverty. In the 1960s and 70s, law enforcement came under attack. Criminals were allowed to control the streets and prey on residents and business owners. Sounds a lot like what we're going through. All totaled, $22 trillion were invested on social programs that were supposed to lift the poor out of poverty and eliminate the need for the police. This period of time was among the most crime-ridden of any in United States history. The poverty rate after this expensive program was tried skyrocketed, and it affected mainly blacks. Raise your hand if you want a return to that. We might get it anyway. As the saying goes, those who ignore history are bound to repeat it. The demand from some sectors to shift money from cops to already tried and failed social programs is foolish. All you have to do is open your eyes to see that lawlessness has increased. A recent report states that homicide rates in several U.S. cities have surged. The Police Executive Research Forum examined crime data on 30 cities for the period from March 16th to April 12th, 2020. This law enforcement think tank found that murders increased in at least 9 cities in less than 1 month. Nashville reported the biggest bump, a 233% increase in crime. The PERF report also found staggering increases in Baltimore, San Diego, Denver, Detroit, New Rochelle, New York, Charleston, South Carolina, and Newark, New Jersey. And who can forget about Chicago? New York City reported 67% more homicides occurred in March 2020 than in April 2019. Overall crime is up 600% in New York City. This is an incredibly troubling number any way you look at it, but do make sure you stand on the street corner at night and wag your fingers at the criminals. In Houston, homicides are at a 5-year high. Between March 24th, when the stay-at-home order was announced, and May 6th, murder rates rose 68%. I thought these guys were supposed to be at home. For the month of May, they shot up 150%. Not only is it alarming that the rates have shot up to this degree, but it is mind-blowing that they have shot up this fast. In many American cities, more people have died from gun violence than they have COVID-19. The most insidious thing about lawlessness is it reveals a lack of love. Jesus said, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." A lawless person does not love his neighbor as himself, because lawlessness and love are not compatible. Lawlessness is a form of self-indulgence. Self-indulgence is not love. A lawless person is not interested in the welfare of others. Take those who burn through red lights. Whose interests are they really looking out for? The interest that the red light speeder is looking out for is his own. Where am I going and how fast can I get there is more important than even somebody else's life. 1 Corinthians 13:5 reminds us that love does not seek its own. We are seeing Christ's words in Matthew 24:12 come to life before our very own eyes. Because lawlessness is increasing, love is growing cold. I can't think of very many lawless activities as unloving as pedophilia, which is America's dirty little secret. If the truth ever comes out, really comes out, about Jeffrey Epstein, some of your favorite politicians are going down for the count. People who commit these acts and others like them love only themselves. Many believe that one's sexual behaviors are nobody's business. But I'd like to remind us that the Bible has given us clear sexual guidelines for the stability of society. A lot of pain and anguish originates from sexual misconduct, sexual abuse, and willingness to pursue one's own gratification over love for others. In 2006, Oprah Winfrey featured the North American Man-Boy Love Association on one of her shows. This is a group that believes that if a boy will agree to it, that a man can have sex with him. I knew then it was only a matter of time till the Love is Love crowd supported pedophilia, and I was right. Facebook recently refused to ban an ad supporting pedophilia. The ad says this, and this is a quote, "Pedophilia is a natural sexual orientation. It is our responsibility to reject and overcome negative feelings toward pedophiles. Because lawlessness has caused love in the human heart to grow cold, this is coming. It's just a matter of time. I predicted it in 2006, and as much as I love to be right, and you know I do, I wish I wasn't right about this. Lawlessness increases when evil is tolerated and excused. Recently, I saw a video where a young man was justifying all of the looting and violence that occurred during the riots. His point was, white people haven't been listening, so black people had to talk louder by burning, looting, and hurting other people. The irony of all of this was that it was mainly, and the statistics bear this out, it was mainly black people who were hurt by all of the rioting that was going on. Their businesses were burnt. They were the ones who were getting bullets to the back of the head. There is no justification for evil, none. Not even the puerile excuse, you weren't listening to me. There is a demonic effort to push our society into darkness by applauding and planting evil into the hearts of especially our young. We find Isaiah's words echoing in our ears. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Our children in our public schools are being taught that bad things are good and good things are bad. This is going on in our public school systems today. I heard a teacher who was interviewed on YouTube this week, and she was a history teacher. And the interviewer asked her, what historical things is she teaching her class? None. I'm not teaching them that. We're not teaching history anymore. We're teaching them how to tolerate this, 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 and the other thing. And forget about the universities, my friends. They are too far gone. If we foster lawlessness by saying evil is good, our culture will fade into oblivion. Our only hope as a people is to humbly repent before God regarding the evil that is occurring around us and to cry out to Him for His mercy. No society has survived by creating this kind of a mess. This will be true financially, socially, and relationally. Jesus encouraged His followers to hold on to their faith and values. He said, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Matthew 24:13. Even with the increasing decay around us, Jesus did not say everyone's love would grow cold. We must be determined to be one of the ones whose love does not grow cold. I know almost everybody who's listening to me today is not a lawless person, but we are being fed a steady diet of lawlessness, and I think we are in danger of growing cold too. I can feel it within myself as I watch criminals tearing through city streets, throwing dangerous objects at the police, burning down innocent people's businesses, and shooting others around them, and little kids. This little girl that I showed you just a little minute ago, that's just one of the kids that have been shot and killed on our streets. Just one. Oh, I feel my heart getting really cold as I watch this stuff go on. I feel my eyes getting squintier and squintier and my heart getting flinty cold. But I must not, and you must not, Let your love die because of the lawlessness that surrounds us. Because we have experienced the greatest love of all, God's love. We must be at work extending God's love to those who are struggling today. If you haven't experienced the love of God, we encourage you to give your heart and soul over to Jesus Christ even this morning. PM us on Facebook if you need to talk about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'd like to remind you again this week, if you don't have a Bible and you would like to have one, PM me on Facebook and we'll see to it that you get one. If you're listening to us this morning and you're not sure that you've truly experienced God's love, pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to suffer and die for my sins. I accept the work he did for me on the cross. I receive him now. Amen.